and you're very welcome back to Lifeline. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio now by Paula Ralph. Good morning to you, Paula.
Good morning.
And Paula, you're going to talk to us today about surgery coaching. Tell us a little bit about this and what it entails.
Well, surgery coaching is quite a new speciality. I have a long career as a pharmacist in New Zealand, and moving over to Ireland about 3.5 years ago, I decided to step aside from that career, and I really wanted to use all that experience and package it up for people to achieve better health. So I did a whole heap of extra training with neuroscience and human behaviour and bits and pieces, loads of training, and have managed to combine everything from the physicality that pharmacy is in that medical world and combine it with the mind-body world and package that up to create surgery coaching. So it's about preparing you on a mental and emotional level for surgery, and if you have that right, you actually get to heal so much faster.
Really, I know everyone, well, most people would kind of dread getting surgery done. My biggest fear is the anaesthetic itself.
Right.
Going under surgery and, you're going to wake up throughout the procedure. I got a procedure done a couple of years ago on my neck.
Yeah.
And that was my one fear. Oh, God, what if I wake up and my throat is cut? And he tried to reassure me. It doesn't really happen. I know, but that was my fear. And, something, and that played on my mind for weeks. Oh, God, what if I wake up through the surgery? Because, you look years ago at these films, and I've heard of the horror movies that you wake up through the surgery. But something like that, for people who have kind of got a really, I suppose, fear of surgery, something like this will calm
them. Absolutely. And if that plays out on your mind, it's only in your mind you've got these thoughts, but your body actually responds in a stress response. So there's a whole lot of science out there now that is supporting all the old ancient wisdoms and things like that. And that's where mindfulness is working out really well, because it's actually supported by science now. So science is catching up, finally. And if you have these stressful thoughts like, oh, the anaesthetic, it's coming, will I be okay? Your body actually listens. It listens to your mind, and your heart rate will start to go up. And your body goes, oh, heck, we have to be vigilant. We have to watch out. This is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And you go into a state of sympathetic reaction, which is fight or flight or freeze.
Yeah.
If you are
it's like
really
having
desperate.
A panic attack.
It's like a panic attack, a little mini panic attack inside. And you might laugh and joke and walk around and go, oh, yeah, I'm scared of the anaesthetic. But inside, you're a churning little bowl of jelly almost.
Mm.
So a body that can heal is a body that is in a parasympathetic state, and that is rest and repose, also good digestion. So to walk up to an operation in a state of sympathetic activation, which is the stress, your body is not really able to heal very fast from that.
Really?
Yeah.
But would the anaesthetic not automatically just calm your body down? As soon as they give that to you.
There's a whole heap of stuff that goes on under the radar.
Once you get that, you're out cold, so you're obviously probably...
Yes, you're out cold, but there's a lot of processes going on. We have an unconscious mind, and that runs the radar as well. And that's going on. So it's been proven that people in comas can hear what's going on. So they're out cold, but they can still hear what's going on. They know what's been going on in the room. And there's techniques that I take people through of... what is to be said in the operation room. You can be the boss of this.
Really?
And you should be the boss of this. The surgical team and everyone in there are on your team, but you're the boss of the team. So you can say, well, I would like this music played because it makes me feel good, or rested or something like that. And you can also say, I don't want to hear what's in the newspapers today, and I don't want to hear how stressful it was driving to work. I want this kind of conversation said. We can ask the anaesthetist to say certain things as you are coming out of, or as you're going into the anaesthetic. You can sort of say, ask him to say, and as you go into anaesthesia, know that you are very safe in this room. And just that can actually put that unconscious mind into the restful parasympathetic state, and it can relax, and it can be receptive to the surgery, and because it's already relaxed, it's really ready to heal afterwards.
So if you're going in a relaxed state,
yeah,
in your body, your mind will, oh, yeah, and then automatically probably you will heal better.
Absolutely.
If you're not worked up and stressed out. Yes. So you can actually ask all these questions when you're going in for an operation. Where
you can, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you just kind of take the word of whatever's going on and don't, yeah, well, I wouldn't have asked any questions if, you know, but you're right. I suppose you're right. It is your body. You're the one that's getting,
boss.
Yeah. And please don't talk about what you had to for your dinner last night. But I suppose when then you put on, I know not all surgeries you're put into, I was going to say coma, a sedation, like some surgeries you're sedated, you can still hear what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Where I had that done before as well. I had that done before where I was sedated, but I knew what was going on, I could hear what was being said, but I was very relaxed because obviously they sedate you, but you can still hear what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So in that type of surgery, yeah, it'd be nice to hear what you want to hear.
It would.
Yeah.
What's wrong with asking for a particular type of music to play? You wouldn't want a head-bangy kind of high heart rate music, but you would want something that's quite gentle and Enya-esque.
Mm.
True. It'd be nice to have an operation with.
So have you actually worked with people that have done this before surgery, and have you seen the difference in them?
Well, that's always a tricky one, because what would have happened if they hadn't had the coaching? But generally these people go in way calmer,
yeah,
and they say, I realised as I was being wheeled in, I was actually getting a bit nervous, and then I remembered, you know, what we were talking about, and I managed to make myself feel very calm through breathing techniques. Not mindfulness, but active breathing techniques, where we're looking at what our lungs are doing, focusing on the lungs. They also, through the pre-surgery coaching, they're able to find their voice. So they're able to find the guts to say, I don't want that to be in the surgery room. So they there's all it's ripples. It's not just how you feel. It's the voice of how you express yourself that is coachable.
All right. So that's for people who are known they're going to be having an operation, known to get their bodies and their minds prepared. What if someone has, as you said, you help people who have had traumatic births and that, who have had
on the other side.
Yeah. How do you help them come through that? Like, I suppose a lot of probably people listening this morning who have had children, a lot of people have probably a traumatic time during the birth and giving birth. How do you help people, or women in that situation?
It is so, so common. There is so much guilt or shame or disappointment or there's so much going on when a woman has a baby. And trauma is what the woman says is traumatic. If she says it's traumatic, well, then it was. And what is a dream birth for one woman could be a nightmare for another.
Yeah.
And what looks good on paper, the midwife might go, well, there was nothing wrong with that. If the woman actually experiences it as a trauma, well, then it was. So a woman with a traumatic birth experience, it changes her. And she's put into this constant hypervigilant state. And she learns to cope with that behavior, but she's kind of different. She's more fearful or upset, an emotional geyser, you know. She flips out at something and you weren't expecting that. No, she wasn't either. She's triggered, or she avoids things, or she's just really scared for herself or her baby or something. So it's actually very coachable, and it's rapid. You can unlink that emotion and those thoughts from that experience, so that the emotion and those thoughts are completely unlinked, and the experience goes into the place of distant memory, like the last rotten holiday you had or something that was unpleasant. It's just something that happened. The learnings are still there, because that's really important to learn from it. You can't delete it. You don't want to rub it out.
Yeah.
But it just goes to a place where you're just like, oh, yeah, that was a really rough birth, and, oh, I felt really horrible, without that crippling emotion that wells up and brings the tears.
And can that, do you think, lead to postnatal depression if you've had a traumatic birth? It can.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you best to kind of, I know people, some of my friends who have had traumatic births, One of the one, the main thing was they were thought they were going to have a normal birth where then they had to have a section, C-section,
yeah.
And
that's a big
at
one.
The last minute and brought in, and everything was going on that which they weren't expecting, and then they felt so bad because it wasn't the way they wanted it. But probably left it too long for help, developed postnatal depression. So really, if you have, and a woman knows herself when she has a traumatic birth, should you get help kind of straight away after or leave it for a few months?
Well, that would
or?
Be ideal, but we tend to sort of say, oh, it's just the baby blues, you know, it'll go away. And sometimes it is the baby blues and it does clear after a week or two, but, you know, 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later. So, look, I know a woman who is 72 and she still can't talk about the birth of her 44-year-old son.
Really?
She couldn't hold the baby, her son's baby. She couldn't cope with that. And she's 72, so she carried it with her. They say the physical scars heal, but the psychological wounds don't. But the thing is, you don't have to struggle for a long time because there is a trauma process that we can go through that really takes minutes.
So just listening to what you're saying today and thinking, you know, a lot of women who have given birth or even had surgery, you can say, well, look, that's just part of life and I had a bad birth and I just have to get on with it. But it can really affect, as you said, that woman like 72, it can affect your whole life afterwards. Yeah. And any surgery is kind of major. It's a major life event, you know, it is scary. So for people listening today, Paula, and they think, oh, my God, maybe I've left it too late to get help.
No, you haven't.
So what words of advice can you give to them?
Do it now. Do it now. Take that filter, because a trauma, and it doesn't have to be babies. It could be a car accident. It could be anything. But a trauma kind of puts this coloured filter over you so that your life is looked through a different coloured lens that, you know, from here on in. Now, sometimes that colour fades a little bit and the effect on your life is a little bit less, but it's still there. It's in that little box. You know, you put a lid on the box and you try and stuff it down in there. Working with the trauma isn't like opening Pandora's box. All hell doesn't break loose because the processes are way more gentle than that. We don't dig around and try and dredge up stuff.
So how do you? What do you do to help people?
It's a process of unlinking neurologically. Using the brain and the body, all mind-body connection, because the body, there's a great book out there called The Body Keeps the Score, and it's all associated with neurology. And so it's a case of unlinking the, you know, when you have a ball and you roll it along the sand and it creates a groove in the sand, and then you roll it along and the groove in the sand gets deeper and deeper. We do that with our own thinking and with our own behaviours. So the groove, our neurological groove for our mind and body gets stronger and stronger.
Right.
So creating a new groove, rolling that ball along a different piece of sand, it's actually really quite easy.
Okay. And for as we move on in life after childbearing years, we sometimes move on and a lot of women have to have hysterectomies, which is a big thing as well.
That's
you
huge.
Know, can cause an awful lot of emotional, you
loss,
know,
distress, dreams, all sorts of things. Yeah.
So how would you prepare somebody for going in for a hysterectomy operation?
I absolutely love coaching women in this area. The area of our pelvic organs, the seat of our feminineness, our feminine wisdom and who we really are.
Yeah.
And we can coach the woman to, I actually coach the woman directly to her pelvic organs and share that wisdom throughout her body so that she's not left with this loss of who she is or the loss of
because
the dreams.
Because it is a bit of a loss. It's, like, that's
it's a huge
it.
Loss.
You know, you can't have any more babies?
That's
are
that.
You still a real woman anymore? Like, it can be a big,
all that.
Big.
Who am I?
Yeah.
What am I here for? And your pelvic organs is the source of your vitality, your drive, your urges, bliss, all that sort of thing. So, and co-creation. And just because they are so much more than baby-making organs, they are who we are. Now, some women have a hysterectomy and are like, happy days.
Yeah.
No worries. But there are so many women who really struggle, and they're the ones that the kids go, gee, mum was never the same after that operation. or women who with endometriosis.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
That is enormous out there, endometriosis. Now, endometriosis doesn't only have to happen in the pelvis, in the uterus, in the womb, and that. It can happen in the throat, it can happen in the gut, the bowel, the bladder. Yeah, you can get that endometrium material everywhere.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
And where it's super interesting is looking at what is it there for, and why is it kicking up?
Mm.
So the coaching can go really deep, but it's so fascinating. And the insights of that woman, the insights, but she wasn't looking for that particular insight, and often the eyes fly open, it's like, oh my God, I didn't realise that. So
with endometriosis,
yeah,
sometimes it can prevent women from having children, can it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you can help, I suppose, you can, if someone has been diagnosed with endometriosis, that it's so bad, as you said, it's gone quite all over the body, I didn't realise that, and they've been told they can't have children.
Yeah.
Can you help them, you know, deal with this?
Well,
because
that,
it's a bit of a loss as well when you think
is.
Of it, you know.
The loss of the dream, the way some women are told, that's even traumatic, like being told. That they are left with that feeling of the that trauma, like, oh my God, you know, that sinking feeling. So yes, unlinking the dream, but I have colleagues who kind of work in the same speak the same language as me, and they're fertility experts, so you know, I don't do fertility, but I certainly know others who do, and happy to refer in that case. But and it's not a given that because you have endometriosis, you are infertile. It's not a given at all.
No, sometimes. I didn't realise, and like you said, I thought it was only around your ovaries that it can affect.
Yeah, and it's all those sort of unexplained, why do I feel so awful? And it can be twice a month.
I know what we women have to go through. And then you have all that, and then you go and have your hysterectomy, and then go through the menopause. What about the menopause? Can you help
menopause,
people?
Menopause, that's quite an exciting time, really.
Really?
Imagine if we all looked forward to it. Mm. How different would that be, rather than if we spread that story of, menopause? What if you like, wow, I've done menopause, I'm in the next age, and I feel empowered from that.
Maybe we need to be more positive
to
about
be really
that. Yeah,
positive about it. Really looking forward to it, and the experience will change.
Yeah, have to get rid of the horror stories.
Absolutely.
And I said, start looking forward to it. So, Paula, just tell us a little bit about how people can contact you if they need to.
Well, I live in Bayside, so I'm very local to here. I have a website, www.paularalph.com. I'm really active on Facebook, Paula Ralph Surgery Coach, and LinkedIn as well. So through the website's probably the best way.
Yeah, great. So, and you don't have a phone number for people who aren't online.
I do.
Did you give out the number there, or did I miss it?
Give out the number there.
So I can read it out at the end of the show as well, just in case. I know everyone's online, but just in case there isn't, and someone wants to give you a ring.
It's 087 398 6578.
Thanks a million, Paula, and thanks for joining us here today. Paula
Ralph,
surgery coach.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us here today.